The E-Commerce Fuel Podcast is brought to you by A2X Accounting. Good financials help you make, shockingly, good business decisions. Unless that is your financials are a mess. And Amazon, Shopify, and other platforms don't exactly go to great lengths to make it easy to deal with those delayed lump deposits that hit your bank account. That's where A2X comes in. It automatically analyzes those lump sum deposits to move all of your revenues into the proper month and break them out of that lump sum so you can get a sense of what your real gross margin is. It breaks out your Amazon fees so you know when Amazon is taking even more flesh out of your business. Shows your actual shipping revenues so you can understand if or when you need to charge more or if you've got more room to offer free shipping. And it dumps all of these broken out adjustments seamlessly into Xero or QuickBooks for amazingly organized books. So make better decisions with more accurate and organized financials. Learn more at ecommercefuel.com/A2X. The E-Commerce Fuel Podcast is brought to you by OneClick Upsell, the most popular, largest upsell app in the Shopify marketplace, trusted by over 11,000 users, over 1,900 of those big spending Shopify Plus stores, and they've generated over $200 million in revenue for the merchants that use them. And you may be thinking, oh, hey, Andrew, I've heard of OneClick Upsell. I know these guys, but do you really? Do you know what they've rolled out recently? They've got some cool new stuff for their pre-purchase and their post-purchase upsells. You can now select from multiple different offers to present your customers. So instead of having them just have to pick from one single thing, you can give them the option to pick from multiple upsells, which helps and has proven to increase the number of people who actually take you up on those upsells. So if you're not using upsells in your store, it's an amazingly easy, fast way to increase your average order value and your revenues. So check them out at ecommercefuel.com/upsell. Hey, it's Andrew here, and welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast, the show dedicated to helping 7- and 8-figure e-commerce brands build incredible businesses and amazing lives. And you may have noticed it's been a rough year for e-commerce. You may have also noticed in passing, that Apple and Facebook had a full-on brawl, no longer going nicely, and that may have totally taken the axe to your ad account. Xero attribution totally blew up any reporting that you have. It's kind of a brave new slash scary world. But wanted to talk about, there's some companies that are diving into the space, looking to be able to provide more insight, more reporting, despite that fight, and give you more tools to be able to actually look at things like attribution and how your ads are reporting and how just general traffic in general is reporting. And one of those is Northbeam.io. And I'm joined by Austin Harrison and Grant Marjoram today to talk about that. Also, a huge big thanks to matchmaker Miracle Wanzo for making this conversation happen. So Austin and Grant, welcome, sirs.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, excited to have you. And big thanks to matchmaker Miracle Wanzo for setting this up. She's knows an insane amount about Facebook and analytics and has been had an eye on your guys' company and said a lot of great things. I've heard a lot of great things from other e-commerce field members as well. But you guys started, as we were talking before we got on here, you started 2 or 3 years ago with the company. Your team has a background in machine learning and AI. I think your CTO went to Stanford for both those things. Anyway, you guys started this to kind of just help with better attribution and tracking for e-commerce companies. And then the Facebook Apple thing happened, which I can't blame you, but you probably looked at that and saw like, hey, there could be worse places to be positioned as a SaaS company right now in early 2021, right?
Yeah, totally.
What was the quick genesis of the business?
Yeah, I mean, really what it was is we looked at all the tools in the market. You know, Dan, our CTO, he was running MTailer building everything on the technology side, and they're kind of, an eight figure brand. And he just didn't like the analytics solutions. I was investing in companies, and looking and advising some e-commerce companies, and was really just frustrated, just didn't believe the numbers, didn't believe what I was seeing, and thought that they were hard to use, right? Like, I wasn't able to quickly dive in and understand, is my blended ROAS effective, right? Like, what channels are profitable, what aren't really, right? I know it's crowded. There's a lot of people that say they do it, but we just didn't really believe what we were seeing. And we felt like machine learning and, our new approach would offer more clarity and just way more accuracy, right? Both from a data collection and cleaning standpoint. We like to joke that, we spend a lot of time cleaning data every single day. And that's kind of an underrated part of all of this. And we just wanted to really help people. And we were we were frustrated as owner operators, and we just felt like something needed to change. So we'd seen all the tools out there. And then, as you mentioned, when, you know, as privacy becomes more and more of an issue, understanding your data, having clean data, and having more visibility over time beyond, you know, 7 days, but, you know, infinite attribution for your investment becomes critical.
Yeah. So again, I think everyone knows it, but at the 30 second kind of overview level, Apple put the kibosh on Facebook being able to pass data back and forth. And so it caused all sorts of things with delayed reporting windows in terms of, you know, sales being reported anywhere from, you guys know the details, but not immediate. You know, it could be, I don't know, 24, 48, maybe even 2 or 3 days later. Data reported in buckets versus specifically, they limited the number of actions you can track on your site. And so that's, of course, why we're chatting, because a lot of ECF customers, a lot of your customers are using Northbeam as a way to step in there and say, okay, well, we want to have some visibility here so we can run campaigns without, you know, flying blind, you know, in the mountains. So how do we do this? Before we dive into all of that, though, I wanted to clarify, can you give a little bit of a clarification on the different types of data? There's zero party, there's first party, third party, and then the lesser known second party, which made me laugh when we were talking about earlier. But can one of the two of you give kind of an overview on those different sets? Because I think a lot of people are still unsure about how those all break down.
Yeah, of course. So our zero party really is customer survey feedback. First party is then going to be data you're collecting on behalf of your brand or business from your website, right? That's tracked by you from your domain. Second party is going to be first party data that's then shared between, you know, different businesses. So you're buying first party data from someone else, for example, then that's a kind of the transitory first party. And the third party data is what we're most common, you know, has been most standard in the ecosystem for many years now, which is, you know, placing cookies on Facebook, placing cookies on client browsers when they visit your site. It's kind of much more, it's been much easier to place a third party kind of cookie, but that's really what's led to a lot of the kind of privacy changes taking place and a lot of the restrictions, not just from Apple, but from Google as well, deprecating the use of third party across most browsers now, that those cookies have really become less valuable in terms of their ability to track. So what we found, and again, back to, it's funny because we kind of built technology around first party tracking, and then it just happened to be really, really kind of relevant these days. But is that first party is becoming kind of the new norm, the new standard, and the new way that we can still provide data on behalf of the brand that's really going to help us, again, inform and draw insights in the business, still make those decisions and still understand our customers to the best that we, you know, legally can.
Yeah. So everything that you guys do is all first party driven. Is that fair?
That's fair. Yeah.
Okay. How does that work? I think it's the, you know, when you think about collecting it on your own site, that's fairly straightforward. People come to the website, you can put an ID on them, they're tracking on your site, you can see what pages they visit, you can see, you know, when they go to checkout, what products have you, et cetera, what actions they take. That's pretty straightforward. I think the big question I have and a lot of people have is how does it work offsite? Because a lot of what you guys do is you'll be able to track if, just take for Facebook for the most basic example, you're able to track or at least give some sense of clarity into how those ads convert offsite. And that's where I think I don't understand how that works. Can you give, because you don't control the page, you can't, how does that all work? How are you able to do first party data on other sites?
Yeah, I mean, really that gets into our secret sauce of how we identify signal and try to track, correlate it back to transactions, right? So, you know, if you're seeing tons of revenue come in through, you know, unidentified sources on a click basis, right? So you've got organic search or direct or even branded for that matter. And you're trying to understand what is actually driving that, to your point, right? And so what, you know, what we've done and our CTO also worked at Twitter kind of identifying signal for trends is like we're trying to tie those signals to the source of what we believe drove the transaction, right? And so we have a ton of kind of proprietary methods that we use to do that. But what's cool about it is we test it all the time. So we do tons of internal behind the scenes testing to try to identify, you know, was it that Facebook ad that drove that transaction, or was it the podcast, right? Cause like, or was it the television ad? And, you know, it gets quite complicated cause you know, we're like air traffic control, cause the bigger the brand, the more stuff is going on at the same time, right? So we have to get very, very detailed in kind of how we identify signal, correlating it to specific transactions.
So, and totally understand you can't get too deep into the weeds on secret sauce, but push back and play devil's advocate just a little bit for people listening. Do you have the ability, is there any way to actually, is it 100% AI, machine learning, data modeling, is it all hypothetical? And not hypothetical in the sense it's not true, but is it all theory-based in modeling? Or do you actually have any ways like to sync up with Google Analytics, with Facebook, to pull in some of the data and signal, even if it's not perfect or if it's, you know, largely imperfect? Or is it a combination of both? Or where on that spectrum does it fall?
So I'd say there's different levels of kind of data that we can collect and aggregate. So we're connecting with every single platform that you're using, every single channel, right? Facebook, Google, TV, influencer, really any data we can get our hands on from a collection standpoint. But the loin of what we leverage, and I'd say like the real horsepower that drives our attribution, is the first party data. So that comes from pixel on your website, again, tracking all those interactions you mentioned, having a first party cookie that we're, you know, setting at the DNS level, which gives us, again, extended and indefinite attribution windows, and then also adding our own tracking parameters to all your ads across every single click and touch point. So then we're commingling all this together. We're doing user stitching to define customer journeys through all these touches. We're generally finding the ability to have more transactions, more touch points, more data at our fingertips and disposal through these tracking methods. And then it gets into building models and making that data usable. So we have certain models that are hard click-through data, right? That says we know that there was all these definite clicks across these platforms. But then through, again, a lot of signal and comprehensive advanced machine learning, we can then drive, there was a view that drove this direct, this branded search. We'll be able to take a lot of that direct none and kind of, you know, other organic traffic and push it into the top of funnel efforts that really drove that customer in the first place. That's where I'd say that machine learning piece comes.
Yeah, just taking a step further to really get nitty gritty and answer Andrew's question as directly as possible. It's really our proprietary machine learning, right? That's the technology that's like driving this and doing that and learning and testing. Cause we start with something that's kind of stock and then we build it specific to each individual brand, right? So it's not like we just apply one model. It's like we're actually building a model around a unique business, which helps us become more accurate over time.
Got it. Okay. So just to make sure I'm thinking about this right, you sync up with as many people as you can, you get as much data as you can. Maybe you're seeing signals from Google Analytics, Facebook. I'm guessing you use a lot of UTM parameter tracking, which probably wasn't, I'm not a paid ads person, but I'm guessing wasn't as critical when you had an accurate Facebook dashboard, but probably much more so now if you want to determine where direct traffic's coming from. And then you're not going to get all of that, but you're going to be able to see that. And the area that you can't track completely, gorge, so to speak, of you know, just blindness, that's kind of where your machine learning and the AI comes in to help bridge that gap.
That's exactly right. And just to be clear, we don't pull from Google Analytics. We pull direct. We actually have our own tracking that gets added to everything, and we actually pull the data directly. So none of it is coming from another source. It's all data we collect on behalf of the business, right? So it's all direct first-party data. And then taking it a step further, we also incorporate as many signals and matchbacks as we can. So we're always trying to clean the data all the time just to get more and more accurate over time.
What do you mean by that? You mentioned at the very top, clean the data. Like I think about it when I've done kind of financial work in the past, is throwing out like outliers, looking at stuff that's totally bonkers. One thing I realized in my very short career in finance was, and I think any researcher will probably attest to this too, is, man, data, people think data is very firm and like, this is the data. And it's not. You can, depending on if you use an average or a median or what you include or what you don't, or like, you can get data to say a pretty wide spectrum of things. So is that what you mean by cleaning data? Like trying to really throw out the stuff that is noise and to get what the true data is best telling you?
Yeah, I think an example I can give you to help clarify that. And it's the way you look at data changes everything, right? And what we're trying to do is provide a source of truth for you, right? And not double count different touch points and revenue. So quick example from last week, you know, Black Friday, I look at an ad on Instagram. That's very exciting. I jump on my computer. I do a direct branded search to the site, make a purchase. Historically, that revenue would get tracked entirely by you know, both Facebook and both Google. So you end up having kind of, again, reporting that's promoting those platforms and giving 100% credit and double counting that transaction. What we've been able to do, again, with some of our learning, is mapping, again, touch points into one user journey. So we're saying, based off all the signals we have, all the data we have at our fingertips, we can say that Instagram, you know, view, that influencer drove that direct traffic. And again, able to source a lot of that into, you know, those two touch points, splitting up the credit or taking that, again, normally organic unknown traffic and pushing it into the starting point, the top funnel effort.
And to make it, and the reason that that's a cleaning issue, right, is because we're identifying that person as one person, not two people. So like our visit count in Northbeam, like the way we're trying to understand like visits and new visits, like we're trying to clean that out to make sure that we're being accurate in terms of was that one person or two people. That makes sense?
It does. It does make sense. Yeah. And do you have, how much ability do you have to be able to, obviously you can see someone if they come in, you can track a conversion, but how well does the system do, or how possible is it to connect a visitor to, you know, someone long-term? Like I'm thinking if somebody logs in and they start the checkout process and they do an email and they're already have a cookie with a first party cookie, maybe through Northbeam or something, that makes sense, right? Like, okay, we know who this person is. I have also heard in the past, although I've never actually dove into it, that there are tools out there that can actually identify people just based on things like their IP or some other, you know, big database where it kind of, so anyway, all that to get back to how without the customer actually providing some kind of identifying information, either through other databases or through AI or stuff, can you get a sense of who they are, even if they're maybe a past customer who has purchased and comes back maybe in an incognito mode or something?
The answer is yes. And that's part of our secret sauce. And that's part of us identifying users in a way that, of course, is anonymous in that regard, but it is identifying unique users, to your point. So yes, that is, it's not just always through kind of, you know, cookies and email. It's also through other signals that we pull in. And that's part of the cleaning process, right? That's kind of what I was getting at, is like, we're trying to say, of all the people that came, how many of them are unique, right? How many of them are repeat customers? And so that's exactly right. We're looking at a lot of different signals, not just the cookie and email.
Got it. Do you guys see any, you know, Facebook obviously made so much sense because they were ubiquitous and they had a pixel that could track people across websites. Do you see any smaller ecosystems building out their own kind of pixels where it's kind of first party data, first party plus, where it's like, hey, if we're all in this ecosystem or we all use Shopify or something like that, where you have a pixel that people share the information among each other? And maybe that ties into my last question a little bit, but is that something you're seeing at all, or is that just a privacy issue nightmare?
I think it's a privacy issue nightmare. Yeah. People are just, like, we wouldn't want to share, like, everyone's data is in their silo as a first party, right? Like, you know, you don't want to essentially share that information.
In terms of the things that, you know, you think about, like attribution windows, first click attribution, last click attribution, safe to say you can customize and dial all those things in with the platform, a custom platform kind of like Northbeam, that you would be able to with Facebook? Or are there any limitations or any things you need to that people need to be aware of?
No, we set up many different models for clients. I mean, we have our kind of standard that we recommend, but we do have several clients that, you know, want to give more credit to Facebook, right? So we build that into our process, right? But yeah, first click, last click, multi-touch, you know, there's all, we work really with every client to create a default, but we do have our kind of standard recommended.
We've provided a variety of accounting models as well as attribution models. Again, like first click, last click, different multi-touch and view through models to help you slice and dice however you want. And again, if you want to compare to Facebook or Google, we have different ways to show comparable views. But generally speaking, our data is going to be different because we're more agnostic, right? We're a third party looking at everything. So our numbers, it's good to look for those differences and those deltas.
Hey, it's Andrew here with a quick aside. If you're listening to this episode and enjoying it, then I've got to tell you about our private community for 7- and 8-figure e-commerce brands. The secret sauce, as the name implies, is that everyone inside, we vet everyone to make sure they have real-world experience running an e-commerce brand and struggle with the same kind of things that you do if that's the position you're in. And why is that important? Well, it means you get fast, on-point answers to your most important questions. So if you've got somebody that HR issue and you're worried about letting someone go, but you're worried about a lawsuit or you're trying to figure out the best ERP to implement, or maybe you're trying to understand marketing techniques, you can post a message to our form and get answers within hours, sometimes minutes, from experts who know this stuff. You get to plug into an amazing network of e-commerce entrepreneurs worldwide across the United States and the globe that you can connect with when you're traveling for meetups and get invites to member-only events like ECF Live. And then finally, you can avoid costly hiring and software mistakes by tapping into our review directory of over 10,000 reviews for agencies and e-commerce software tools. I mean, it's really hard to find unbiased reviews online right now. So often they're either paid for or they're affiliate links. All of our reviews are completely unbiased. So when you go down the road of hiring a new ad agency or looking for that new, you know, ERP software, you have a lot more confidence that you're not going to be wasting the next 3 or 4 months of your life on an expensive project. So if that sounds interesting to you, come join us. You can learn more and apply ecommercefuel.com, and we'd love to have you inside. All right, let's get back to the discussion. And how about thinking through real time? You know, we're just wrapping up relatively recently with Black Friday, Cyber Monday, people spending gobs, unholy amounts of money, and hopefully generating unholy amounts of revenue too. But this is probably the first year I know a lot of people have been flying blindly, where traditionally you could kind of get more real time information on how your ads were performing and tweak necessary. Maybe you line up a bunch of ads, you fire them all off, you see which ones are performing best, and you allocate spend to those top performers. Yeah, I know people are you know, chatted with someone who's was using UTM parameters kind of real time in Google Analytics to see which ads were getting the most traffic, and then kind of a, you know, kind of allocating accordingly, which is definitely better than flying blind. It's pretty smart, but not necessarily nowhere near as good as the stuff you had before. How can you think about that with a, you know, kind of a new platform like this? Does it give you? Can you get more real time data?
It's a great topic. I mean, we actually rolled out hourly reporting on data across platforms a couple months ago in preparation for Black Friday, because that has become, again, a new need. We had a client spending, you know, $250,000 a day on just Facebook. Other clients really dumping a lot of money into the efforts around that. And you need to be able to track transactions and conversions as quickly as possible to, you know, A/B test different creatives or to look at your overall, you know, funnel and realign budget. So we actually saw a lot of clients, you know, moving budget around on an hourly basis. We've been able to provide transactions faster than Facebook and Google, actually, because of our first party nature and direct connection to, you know, Shopify, being able to show those pretty immediately.
Right. So instead of having to do what your client was doing, where they're just kind of like trying to infer, we're literally showing transactions for, you know, a Facebook ad that in Northbeam showed 80 transactions for an individual. Actually, one of our clients freaked out and called us and said, "Wow, look at this." He actually had made a bet internally with his team that one ad would perform best, and it had 80 transactions within the hour in Northbeam and zero in Facebook, right? And so he hammered down on that and increased revenue dramatically. And it was been really fun for us. Obviously, we didn't get a lot of sleep over the over the weekend, but it was really fun to see.
Yeah, I bet. What you touched on a little bit before that you kind of go through and you'll go out and, you know, click on some Facebook ads, click on, you know, drive some traffic to try to see if your models are working. How much of that do you do? Because the big issue, I mean, everything relies on it being correct, right? Like, so how do you, what amount of time is the team spending on doing that testing, on doing that kind of validation to see if the attribution that gets spat out is correct based on stuff that you know, because you initiated it, is coming in the front end? How much, like, how much of a focus is that?
It's a huge focus. I would say it's maybe the top. You know, we at Northbeam, we haven't done any aggressive marketing to build the company in terms of, you know, go to market, external customer. You know, we've been focused on growth or through just organic referral with our customers. And the reason for that is because we want to spend most of our time on our machine learning model, on making sure that we're, you know, doing our best to be accurate, to your point. And I would say it's maybe the number one focus. And it's been fun. We have a motto at Northbeam, like, criticism is more valuable than praise. So we love it.
That's a good motto.
So we want people to say, "I don't believe this." And they do that. And we stress test it and we dig in. And that's the only way we're going to improve.
And what percentage of the time when you're doing that, like, obviously it's an iterative process, right? You go through and you send stuff in, and some of it's right, some of it's not. The stuff that's not right, you think, well, why didn't we catch this? You update your model, et cetera. What percentage of the time are you seeing signal that is not accurate that you have to go in and re-engineer the model to take account for?
Very rarely now, because we've been at it for a while. Of course, when we first started, it was wonky. And when we bring on a client, there's kind of that 2-3 week period where, you know, our models are training, and it gets more accurate over time. And we've actually had clients stress test us with their own independent studies. And we were within 2% accuracy of their random sample, statistically, you know, valid study in terms of some of our reporting. So that was really exciting for us, because we actually didn't even know they were doing it. So that was cool. But yeah, no, we feel really good about where we are today. It's always a learning process, but, you know, like Jeff Bezos, Amazon says, you know, you know, 70-30 rule. So our goal is to be, our main goal at Northbeam is to always be directionally accurate. And the proof's in the pudding, right? Our clients have, you know, their revenue has increased on average 44% since working with Northbeam. So yeah, so people following, kind of using our data to make decisions and grow, it's been a good process.
Have you seen on a either return on ad spend or MER ratio or kind of the efficiency level, have you seen clients, what level have they been able to restore kind of their pre-Facebook, Apple, divorce, spat, spend efficiency ratio? Because I think that's super important to people.
Yeah. No, we've helped them a lot, right? Because what we do is we identify the things that aren't working and the things that are. And it's really simple, really. I mean, I know, you know, you come from, you know, used to work in the finance world in another life. And, you know, it's really about high frequency trading, right? And so we provide the ability for clients to say, this is not cost effective. This is. So yeah, to your point, we've been able to increase margin, right? Profitability margin there, which is critical. I will say this though, a lot of our customers that are like really aggressive about growth they think about profitability, of course, but we like to say they live a little on the edge, right? Because they really want to just push it. And so they're not necessarily looking for like a 4 or 5x ROAS, right? They're looking for like a 1.7 because they want to grow as really aggressively.
Mm-hmm. Is there any kind of profitability reporting built into, and I know that's not necessarily the focus of what you're doing, but for Northbeam, any kind of profitability reporting built in so you can kind of look at, yeah, how your ads are doing, not just on a top line basis, but in terms of revenue?
Definitely. So we have some features already built in around that, and we're actually adding a lot more. But yeah, we've got return metrics, and we can actually work with clients to like customize the way they want to look at revenue. So, you know, shipping, taxes, and we can build in, COGS essentially. And that's a huge focus area for us, actually. We really want, really have businesses focus on profitability.
We've done a lot of lifetime value and cohort analysis with your orders table. So we can look at repeat purchasing behavior of subscription businesses as well, which helps also influence our forecasting model. So we can project revenue for 30, 60, 90 days based off of purchasing behavior in the business. So I think that piece also, when we look at the cohorts of buyers and customers, definitely a key piece of our learning.
Got it. What kind of things can't any platform do? You know, I mean, we had, when you look at what used to be with Facebook and Apple and all the attribution that was just directly connected to where we are now and having to take a lot of signal, clean it up, use some machine learning, and we're having to, it's not a direct link. What can't people do anymore? What can anyone who's using any platform like yours or others, what just has kind of gone that we're not going to get back?
Shoot. I mean, I think obviously the third party cookie thing has really decimated a lot of people focused on retargeting. That's not really relevant to us, but it's something that I'm just saying, like, I don't think it's in our wheelhouse because we're not doing that. But like, I think companies in the retargeting kind of third party cookie space are really going to have an extremely tough time over the next, they're already in deep waters now, but I think it's only going to get worse. So anyone kind of sharing, customer data across multiple platforms in the third party space, it's just going to get tougher and tougher.
Well, gentlemen, this is super interesting. Congrats on the platform that you've built. Pretty sophisticated, obviously, in what it can do. And congrats on, I think it's kind of like e-commerce. Like when COVID came, no one was excited to see it, but it was sure a nice silver lining for most e-commerce companies. I would imagine it's the same way with you guys. Nobody wanted to see this coming with Apple and Facebook, but it's a good position for you guys to be in, not for only for yourself, but for the merchants you can help too. So just kind of in closing here, who's it for? Northbeam.io, I believe, but if people want to learn more, but any particular people it's a great fit for, or anything else people should know before we kind of sign off here?
Yeah, sure. Thanks. Yeah, I think, Northbeam.io. Yeah, obviously feel free to email me or Grant at Northbeam.io or Austin at Northbeam.io. But yeah, we're really focused only on e-commerce companies. So, obviously some of the other folks that may do what we do focus on other areas, but yeah, we're laser focused on e-commerce businesses, primarily ones right now on Shopify. We're rolling out obviously support for other folks, but right now that's kind of our sweet spot. And then yeah, companies that really want to invest in growth, that's obviously a good one too. Companies that are trying to scale aggressively are a really good fit because then we're providing them kind of real clarity around what's working and what isn't, and they can leverage our tool to the utmost. But yeah, we do have customers that are like growing slowly, and that's fine too. They just want accurate numbers, and that's great.
Great. Well, we have gone super into the weeds on analytics and attribution and data tracking and stuff, which is, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's a fascinating topic, but we're gonna end on something a little bit lighter, if that's okay with you guys. And that's gonna be a lightning round. So I'm gonna ask, I have five questions here, and then if you guys are cool with it, we'll alternate. So Grant, question for you: what's one of the fondest memories from your childhood? Speaking of your parents,
Oh man.
We're really changing gears here from data attribution, aren't we?
Yeah.
I'd say like we had an awesome little neighborhood set up, and I grew up in Santa Cruz, California, and we had a really fun little neighborhood community. And so running around with my neighbors being hooligans probably was probably one of the fondest areas.
Oh, cool. You grew up in Santa Cruz?
Yeah. I'm based in San Francisco now, but Santa Cruz originally.
Oh man, sounds like an amazing place to grow up. Also back to you, if you weren't living where you are now, where would you live?
Oh, this is an easy one. Barcelona, Spain. I was there for a quick trip recently, and that is just an incredible city. If you haven't been, I recommend it.
Grant, I'm going to get you, unfortunately, getting another hard one here. What's one of the things that you hate about your business that's really difficult?
Hiring. We were just trying to start hiring and trying to find some good people. So this is maybe a call to action for any listeners that are interested in, we're starting to start hiring and scaling. And so I'd say, trying to figure that process out and grow into scale. That's probably, I'd say, one of the biggest areas of impact and maybe light challenge today.
Yeah. Any particular roles that you're looking for?
Yeah, I think we're trying to grow actually all sides of the business. So go to market, engineering, marketing, customer success support, all across the board, really. This last year, again, it's been pretty astonishingly rapid growth and trying to scale. So there's a lot of areas that we could totally use some awesome support and help.
And then Austin, last one for you. And understand if you can't share this, but I think if you can, it'd be great. I know we've had a lot of ECF members talk about you guys in the community. Who's one of the more interesting ECF members/customers you've had come on board that just has interesting person or interesting business model or just stands out to you?
I would say Kevin Williams. We're super smart, very detail-oriented, very numbers-oriented. He's run just a pleasure just to kind of, you know, we learn both ways, and he's just been an incredible just customer, just challenging us, giving us ideas. And yeah, like we said, criticism is more valuable than praise. So yeah, we're just always trying to improve.
Well, gentlemen, Austin, Grant, thank you so much. Northbeam.io, if you want to check them out, sounds interesting to you. Yeah, congratulations on building a very, very cool and very timely solution. It's definitely needed out there. So great chatting with you guys.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.
The fact that you've stuck around through that much e-commerce nerding out and geekery tells me you just might be a good fit for the e-commerce fuel community. It's the largest group of 7- and 8-figure store owners on the planet, and it's a packed, active discussion board, multiple live events throughout the year, and so much more. So if that kind of sounds interesting, you should check it out, learn more, and consider applying for membership at ecommercefuel.com. Also, big thanks to one-click upsell from Zipify Apps. Rapidly increase your average order value by offering targeted high-converting upsells. You can get started at ecommercefuel.com/upsell. And also A2X, saving you hours of wasted time and frustration by making e-commerce reconciliation easy. Learn more at ecommercefuel.com/A2X. Thanks so much for listening. Work hard, adventure often, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again next Friday.
The ASY Radio Network, live from New York.